Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society, to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Colin Goldberg, an artist who I believe was one of the founders of a new art movement, or certainly one of the acolytes of it. I saw that you had a showing at the Hearst building in Manhattan. Was that your most recent place?
Well, the most recent show that I was in was at a place called the Kingsborough Art Museum in Brooklyn. And that was a group show with this artist community called Texpressionism that I was involved in starting. I actually, I coined the term Texpressionism back in 2011 as a title of a group show, which was actually in Southampton. There was a place called Four North Main Gallery, which isn't there anymore, but I did a show there called Texpressionism, and it's evolved since then into a kind of a large international art community.
Tell me a little bit about how it's different from, say, realism or any of the art movements.
Texpressionism is defined as an artistic approach in which technology is utilized as a means to express emotional experience, which is kind of a mouthful. But basically, it is art that involves digital tools, primarily digital tools like the computer, but it is work that is created by individual artists versus, say, a studio. So I had gone to graduate school and did my MFA in computer art. And I saw that a lot of the undergrads were really interested in going out and working for places like Pixar or Electronic Arts, creating, consumer animation movies and video games. So I came up with this term, Texpressionism, to describe my work because I didn't really feel like it fit into the bin of digital art or computer art, because I would often incorporate hand painting into it. But it's based on the ideas around expressionism. So that's where the word came from.
I remember, I've known you a while. You worked for us about 15 years ago, and you were kind of fiddling around with art and computer art at that time. What got you interested in this whole new way of looking at things?
I grew up in the 1980s, and that was right around the time that the personal computer sort of became available to people. So I had a Commodore 64 growing up as a kid, and I used to create these little animations. I wrote some programs in BASIC to make little kind of animations, and got interested in, the computer as a tool to create artwork with when I was relatively young. And then I ended up going to undergrad and studied painting there. So I did traditional painting and oil and acrylic, and eventually ended up moving to New York City after graduation. That was 1994. So I arrived there right when the web was starting and got involved building websites right from the get-go, and took these digital tools and started incorporating them into my own artwork at that point.
Where did you grow up? You mentioned coming to
I grew up in Southampton. I was born in the Bronx and moved out to the east end of Long Island when I was very young, about a year and a half old. And my dad got a job teaching at LIU Southampton, or back then it was Southampton College, teaching chemistry. And so I grew up, basically went through public school, Southampton public school system, and graduated Southampton High School in class of 90.
And then where did you go to study art graduate after graduation?
I went to school upstate at SUNY Binghamton, and I studied painting there. I actually had a really great professor named Angelo Ippolito, who was a New York School abstract expressionist painter who was originally from Italy. So he got me interested in abstract art and abstract painting. And, you know, then I moved to the city, kind of bounced around for a while. I lived in downtown in the East Village for about 5 or 6 years and up in Boston. But I ended up going back to school to do my MFA out at a college called Bowling Green State University in Ohio. And I did my MFA in computer art there from around 2005 to 2008.
What is the, I saw some pretty sensational looking images at the Hirsch show. They were absolutely stunning. And I'm looking at where you're sitting now. Is this your studio where you do your work?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, I work from home, so I have a home-based studio and do all my work from here. This is a large format printer behind me. So back in 2013, I got a grant from the Pollock Krasner Foundation, which is out, the Pollock's house is out in Springs, as you, I'm sure you know. So I got to be friendly with Helen Harrison, who was the director for many years, and she allowed me to come over there and spend some time there. And I got very, you know, influenced by Pollock and his kind of colleagues that worked out there in the 1950s. And she encouraged me to apply for a grant from the foundation. So I ended up getting awarded the grant, which is a great honor. And I used some of that money to buy the printer behind me that I used to create a lot of my work with.
What is the excitement in your mind when you create this kind of work? What's going on as you watch it? How does it work? How do you, sounds like you make friends with AI or something. Tell me about it.
Well, you know, I don't know if I make friends with AI. I kind of see AI as just another tool for artists to use. And, you know, I feel like it's just part of life at this point. And it's something that people could sort of reject and rebel against or kind of incorporate into what they do. I don't really use AI a whole lot in my personal work, but I still do some commercial work and I use it for that.
I was asking you about before that. I was asking about the process and mm-hmm. how it, I guess, seemed important enough for you to continue with this from when you first started it and how it's evolved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I guess when I moved to the city, I started experimenting with creating abstract drawings in Adobe Illustrator, which I used, you know, in my sort of my day job working at ad agencies doing design work. And I thought, you know, I happened to be born in the same era as the personal computer, and this is how I was going to sort of make my mark as an artist. You know, I decided that at some point this was going to be what I did. And I actually took a whole bunch of my paintings and threw them out at the Southampton Town dump at one point because I got so kind of, you know, I kind of drew a line in the sand and said, you know what, like this is what I'm going to do. And I actually have combined a lot of the things that I enjoy, like I'll paint and actually run the paintings through that printer. So that's kind of where this idea of Texpressionism came from.
What's the process? Start from a blank canvas. How does it wind up as a painting of this kind?
Mm-hmm. Well, generally, like, you know, there's a couple different types of work that I make. Like the piece behind me is a fully digital drawing. It's actually an augmented reality piece. So when you look at it with an app called Artivive, it moves and animates, which is a relatively new kind of development that I've been exploring. But generally, like my paintings are created, I work mostly on linen and on paper. So generally, like I'll work with the painting unstretched, that is, I'll tape the canvas or the linen actually up on my wall, and then I'll work with like palette knives, large knives that house painters might use, and big brushes, mostly like brushes and tools used for house painting that are large, and work with acrylic paints, and then get a layer down. I'll take a photo of it with my phone and bring it into the computer and then draw a digital layer on top of it, superimposed, to kind of simulate, you know, what it would look like being, you know, with a print on top of it. And I work with a special primer and coat the surface of the painting with this special primer that's made to take inkjet. And then I literally run the painting through the printer and then tack it up on the wall again. You generally do multiple layers of print and paint to end up in, you know, with a final piece. I mean, I've been showing some of this work at a gallery, at my gallery up here in Vermont called Hemholtz Fine Arts. So they've been, you know, really supporting me with this new type of painting, type of artwork.
So the in regular painting, a painter is alone and produces some work, and it's the canvas and the painter.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, is there a third party involved, or a computer part of it involved? How does that make it separate from what I'm describing?
I mean, I wouldn't see the computer as a third party. You know, to me, it's just another tool. Just like, for instance, Andy Warhol's paintings incorporate silkscreen. And most of them are photo silkscreen, you know, like the Marilyn Monroe and the things he's famous for. So it's, you know, I see the computer as just another tool of, you know, used to make an image. And it's something that can be incorporated into painting. Like there's kind of a long tradition of artists incorporating printmaking into their painting. People like Warhol, Robert Rauschenberg, people like that.
Well, I'm looking at the one by the chair directly behind you, and is part of that from your work or all of it? And what kind of layers are in there? I'm just trying to see how you produce these things.
Mm-hmm. Well, that one there behind me is actually a fully digital drawing, and that was actually drawn back in 2004. So I've recently taken this body of work and put it into a book. So this is the piece that Hearst bought, which is called Kneeling Icon, and I put them together into a book that is the first augmented reality book that's on Amazon. So I'm going to show you something kind of cool. Let me just see. Okay, so here's the piece, right, that's on the wall behind me here, and there's an app called Artivive, which is this augmented reality app, and if you look at the piece through the app, let me just actually turn the volume up here.
What? I saw it move, yes. How long does it go, or does it keep going?
So there's 23 pieces in the book. And each piece is a 23-second audiovisual loop. And each piece actually I minted on the blockchain as an NFT. So they started as these digital drawings 20 or 25 years ago, and then over the last couple of years have developed into this new body of work that are augmented reality artworks.
I see. Do you also come out to the Hamptons often? Is your family home out here?
I was out there last summer with my girlfriend. I actually met someone up here in Vermont who grew up on Long Island, which was very serendipitous. So we took a ride out to the East End. And but no, my mom, you know, she sold the family house and moved back to Hawaii, where she was born. And that's where my sister is. But I do have friends out there, you know, friends and colleagues. So I do come back out and definitely miss the ocean. I'm based in North Bennington, Vermont. So, you know, we get a lot of snow here, but we don't have the ocean. So I definitely miss that. And I enjoy coming back out and going to all my favorite places.
Are you a surfer or a swimmer?
I like boogie boarding. You know, I never got into surfing a whole lot, but I definitely spent a good amount of time out at Flying Point and Cooper's Beach and, you know, all those places growing up.
Do you see any further changes in this kind of art production from what you do now?
That might Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, probably the biggest thing that I've experienced personally with my own work is being involved in starting this group called Tech Expressionism, where I actually, you know, I did a Google search after maybe in 2020, and I had used this term to describe my own work, you know, for about 10 years. And then I found an article about a woman who was actually in Southampton named Oz Van Rosen, an artist who was calling herself an abstract expressionist in this magazine article. It might have even been in Dan's, I'm not sure. But I reached out to her and I said, what do you think about starting an artist group around this idea? And she was, you know, in favor of that. So her, myself, an artist named Steve Miller, who's actually based in Sagaponack, who I've known for many years, and a colleague of mine, Patrick Lichty, we met on Zoom with Helen Harrison from the Pollock House. And we started this group, which is now, you know, it comprises artists from over 40 countries. And the hashtag Texpressionism has been used over 80,000 times at this point on Instagram. So it's really grown. And interacting with all of these other artists, to me, is the evolution of, you know, the way that that modern art has been developing. That is, you know, people are interacting online in a way that was never possible 10 or 20 years ago. And really, to me, the pandemic was a big part of what, you know, kind of pushed people to connect, especially through things like Zoom, which I think, you know, everyone, all of the people in this community have been able to share their ideas, their techniques. We meet once a month in these online salons that are open to the public, and kind of share each other's work and stuff like that. So the social aspect to me is really a big part of what's been accelerating, you know, the growth of digital art, and certainly NFTs and the blockchain, and, you know, people like Beeple, who had this record sale a couple of years ago that sort of dwarfed, you know, all of the sales of physical art at places like Sotheby's and Christie's, which is, you know, definitely a big change for the art world.
Well, do you see a time when I was going to say robots are producing art?
Well, actually, there is a guy who was part of the, you know, he became part of the Texpressionism community, and he actually taught me how to mint NFTs. This guy, Andrea Bonaceto, is an Italian artist, and he created a piece, and it was billed as, you know, the first artwork created in collaboration with a humanoid robot. And I actually saw it as a story on News 12 on Long Island, which was shocking. And the piece apparently sold for something like $700,000. And he worked with a robotics lab. It was an NFT. You know, I think that, I mean, I use sort of computer assisted robotic tools like a plotter that moves a pen or a pencil or anything that I put into it across the surface. So that's, in a sense, you know, like a robot. But I don't think that autonomous robotics are going to be, you know, in use anytime soon. There's always a human operator, hopefully.
Well, when you go online with some of these, they say, would you like me to compose a song? You know, mm-hmm. And you have an audio.
Yeah, there's a lot of generative AI tools now to create audio, even video, you know, from text prompts, which I think it's very interesting, you know, and there's a lot of sort of ethical questions as far as what kind of content these systems are trained on and how they're used, you know, in media. But I think that from a creative standpoint, there's a lot of interesting possibilities out there.
Well, thank you for being on the podcast. It's been very interesting and enlightening from my perspective. And what's, I think, also of interest is the fact that the abstract expressionist movement and was partly founded and developed here in the Hamptons. And now there is this piece of art moving forward as well. So mm-hmm. Congratulations to that. And I'll be in touch with you soon.
All right. Well, thank you, Dan. Thanks for inviting me to be on the podcast. And yeah, it's been great talking to you.
Okay, great. Bye-bye. All right.
Take care.